Well, hey, welcome to Brave Church. We're glad you're here with us. We started a series last week called Know, Grow, Discover, Go. And if you missed last week, I want to encourage you to go on to our website at wearebrave.church. Listen to part one of the series because it really helps up kind of set up today. But we'll kind of recap just a little bit about that. And so first of all, last week we read this verse together, and we'll start there with 1 Corinthians 12:27. Paul writes this statement, and he says, "Now you are the body of Christ." And he's talking about you, and he's talking about me. He says this thing called church. You are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. Each of you plays a part, and I play a part. We kind of all play a part. We make it this thing called the body of Christ. And we said this statement last week as well. We said, so the church is the body, right? So the church is like a body. It's the body of Christ. It's something that you're a part of. It's not something you go to. And so this is kind of like a really kind of a mental shift for a lot of us sometimes. We think that church is something that you go to on Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. and or you know, it's kind of a place that you go, or what church do you go to? And so because that language is used so often, it kind of can be seen as something that you just go to or something that you miss when you don't show up or something like that. But of course, none of you ever miss. All of you guys are just faithful attenders. It's amazing. But it's something you're a part of. It's not something you go to. And so we kind of want to really drive that in today, because I think that's just so important for us to understand that whenever the church comes together, when people come together like this, they form this thing called a body, and each part has to play a specific part. If it doesn't, then the body misses out, just like a regular kind of like a human body. And so the church is really like this thing called the body. It's not just this place. It's not this organization within these walls. The church is a body. Each of us is a part of it. That's just kind of the way that it goes. So welcome to the body, because this is part of the body. You didn't know it, but you're more of a body than you thought you were. All right, here we go. So the church is the body of Christ. We all play this kind of key part. And here's what I know about the body. Since the church is like a body, everybody kind of has two options, and we know this because some of us have them and some of us don't. All right, here we go. Don't be mad at me. Here we go. We can either have healthy bodies or unhealthy bodies. Don't nudge your neighbor. Be like, hey, this is the one you are. All right, but some of us have healthy bodies or unhealthy bodies. I can see some of the laughter right now. All right, so healthy body or unhealthy body. This is true. And all of us kind of understand what this looks like when you think about the physical human body. You think, okay, healthy body or unhealthy body. But let's kind of go a little deeper, think about like a family. All of us at least know of or have been a part of healthy families or unhealthy families. All of us kind of know what that's like. You know somebody that's part of an unhealthy family or a healthy family. Or think about a healthy organization. All of you probably have some job or have worked or something like that. And so you've been a part of a healthy organization, and you've also maybe been a part of an unhealthy organization. So all of us can understand this idea that there's this difference between what's a healthy body and what's an unhealthy body. And here's what I know is true for you. It's true for me, regardless, even if you're not like a church-going person, not a Jesus-loving person, but you would still say that, I would understand that, Ricky, that's true, right? Here's what I know about all of us. We would all rather be a part of a healthy body than an unhealthy body. No one in this room would say, no, sign me up for the unhealthy organization. That's where I want to work. I want to work for that place. That's completely dysfunctional family. That's the kind of family I want, in Jesus' name, amen. Anybody want a dysfunctional family? You'd say, yeah, that's me. I'm not asking you to say what you do have. I'm saying you'd say, because then I'd get a lot of participation probably if you're like me. Okay, but no, so you'd say, man, I don't want to be part of a dysfunctional family. I want to be part of a healthy family, right? This is something we all would agree with. You want to work in a healthy environment. You don't want to work in an unhealthy environment. This is just true. You want healthy bodies, don't you? Yes. Okay, some of you are like, no, I don't know. I'd rather die young, I don't know. So no, you want a healthy body. You don't want unhealthy things. We would much rather belong to a healthy body than an unhealthy body. This is just a true understanding of this. And here's what I know about this, right? Here's what I know, and you know this too. But healthy things require intentionality. Healthy things require intentionality. None of you wake up and just accidentally get like washboard abs. Man, this is crazy. Look how that got there. This is insane. It totally accidental. Just randomly showed up. I don't know what happened. I just woke up ripped. It was really cool to see. Just one of those things. Anybody ever kind of witnessed that before? Some of you just randomly just showed up. Accidental health all of a sudden happens. No, that's not the way it is. Healthy things require intentionality. Let me talk to all the families, moms, dads. Moms, dads, raise your hands. Just so I kind of know you are. Moms, dads, parents, families. Okay, if you have a family, raise your hand. Everybody should be lifting their hand. If you don't, we want to. You're part of a family, so you're all part of a family now. All right. So here's the thing. Sometimes we look around at other couples, girls, you do this. Women, ladies, you do this. You look around the other marriages. You look at, I told you about this, where my wife looks at the chip, and what's the lady's name on the HGTV? You know, Joanne, see, some of you already know. Like, look at that married couple. That's what we should be like, you know, whatever, I don't know. All right, so here's the thing. You look at other kids, you look at parents, you do this, you look at other kids, you look at other families, the way they communicate, the way they talk, and you think, man, we should be like that. Can I just tell you, healthy things require intentionality, right? Families don't hit communication at a high level just randomly. Wow, they just got a lucky kid, like just the way it works. No, it takes a lot of effort, a lot of intentionality. Healthy things require intentionality. If you want to have a healthy workplace, maybe you're a manager, you're a supervisor, and you would love to kind of see your place get a little bit more healthy, it's going to take a lot of effort. It's going to take a lot of work because healthy things require intentionality. If you want to get in shape, if you want to kind of just, you really want to work out, you kind of want to get healthy, let me just tell you, it's going to require a lot of intentionality. This you can't escape this truth. This is like just a thing that's just kind of real. It's what is. Does that make sense? And the same is true for the church. The same is true for us as a body. Remember, we're a body. And so because we're a body, we're going to have to take some intentionality. So here's what I know. For a church to be healthy, right, because we're all a body, we're all a part of a body, for a church to be healthy, it's going to require us to be intentional. You can write this down in your notes. You have that in front of you. For a church to be healthy, it must be intentional with growing spiritually healthy people. So if the church is a body and each person is a part of the body, then we have to be intentional about growing spiritually healthy people. Because if you have spiritually healthy people, then you have a spiritually healthy body, and then you have a healthy church. And no one, even if you're not a church-going person, you'd say, but if I'm going to try church out, I really want to just go, send me to the place that's like a messed up church. That's what I want to do. I want to go to the one that's just preaching heresy and like just beating people up and stuff like that, or telling people, you know, how they could just get rich quick or something. I don't know. So you just say, no, we want to be part of a healthy church. But in order for Brave, for us, because I kind of told you guys last week that this series is kind of like a family talk. And so if you're here for the first time, I'm actually glad about that because you're going to kind of really hear kind of the heart and who we are as a church and where it is that we're going and what it is we really believe and what we buy into. And so I'm really glad if you're here for the first time. But if this is your home, you say, man, Brave is the place for me. This is kind of where I go. This is my church home. We said this is going to be like a family talk. And so we got to be really intentional about this. We have to do our best as a church to do our best to grow really spiritually healthy people. And it's going to require a lot of intentionality. It's going to require a lot. And you say, why am I even going through this talk? I just want to let you know, here's the reason why. And I'm going to talk about this for just a second. The reason why I want to spend 2 weeks, and what we did last week and today, on this series in the midst of our 21-day fast. And of course, if you missed last week, we started a 21-day fast. Again, you can go on our website and kind of listen to online, but encourage you to jump in, be a part. Don't be like, oh, I missed last week. Don't have to fast. No, encourage you to be a part of our church fast, and you can hear more about that on our website. But here's the reason why I'm going through this. Okay, here's the reason. Because I want you, and you need this. You don't know that you need it, but you need it, and I know you need it, and I know I need it. So here's what I want us to understand. Does that make sense? All right, here we go. Confidence in your commitment. We want confidence in your commitment. You say, what commitment am I making? Here's what I know. You showed up today, right? You're here. You made a commitment to get out of bed. You made a commitment. And for many of you, you make a commitment each and every week. For some of you, you commit by giving, you know, financially and supporting what God is doing through Brave Church. Some of you commit through serving and volunteering, or a multitude of ways. We want you to have confidence in your commitment to Brave Church. Also, we know that some of you are inviting and you're reaching out to people. You're talking to neighbors, to friends. We want you to know that you can have confidence in your commitment to who we are as a church, that we're going to do all we can to spiritually grow and help people discover who they are in Christ. And that's kind of why we're taking the time today to really talk about this a little bit, so that you can have confidence in your commitment to who we are as a church and where it is that we're going. And that's why I'm going to take the time to spend on this. So today is going to be about an hour and 45. So sit back, relax. Enjoy your seat. All right, last week we started off with our purpose. Okay, here we go. Our purpose. We exist so that people would know God and make him known. We said last week that as we kind of were launching out as a church in the community just about a year and a half ago, that what is it we're going to ultimately try to accomplish? And we shrunk it down to this statement, that we felt like we exist so that people would know God. We didn't want to just stop there. We don't believe that God just says, well, let's just baptize people and then just forget about them. We said, no, it goes beyond that. We said, we want help people to help make Jesus known to the world and their communities and their families. If they're parents, think about it as a parent. We want a parent to get to know God in such a way, but they'll make Jesus known in their home to their children. And then it gets passed down from generations to come. If a person works in a certain environment, they come to know who Christ is, that they would carry that out into their work environments or their leadership positions, because we believe this is kind of what it really is we're called to do as a church. And I'm not saying that we're better than other churches. I just believe that this is what God's really called Brave Church to do, is to know God and to simply make him known to our world. So as we really wrote this statement down, our purpose statement, even though it just sounds really cool personally, but anyways, when we saw it, we kind of said, that's it. We actually wrote this down on a napkin at Jersey Mike's when we came up. It was like the Holy Spirit moved over a sandwich. But when we were kind of talking about this and we said, okay, this is definitely what we want to do. This is it. This is the statement. We started immediately, this is about a year and a half ago, wrestling with how we're going to do this. In fact, probably even a little bit more than that, even before we launched the church, we were wrestling with this question. Well, how are we going to do that? I mean, how are we going to do this? If this is what God's calling us to do, how are we going to help people know God and then to make him known? And then beyond that, there became a second question, which is how are we going to know if we are doing it? Because anyone in leadership knows you kind of have to know where it is you're going and whether or not you're doing what it is that God's calling you to do so that you can reevaluate, make changes, make adjustments. And so we just kind of really started to think about this. How are we going to do this? And after about a year and a half of kind of trying different things out and talking and wrestling and praying, we've read so many different books and kind of debated over scripture. What is it scripture would say and how do we approach this and how do we do it? We landed on something that's going to become very and is very important for us, but I'm spending so much time on this last week and this week that none of you should know why it is we do what we do. And we believe that the best way to do this, and we thought we would say it this way, is through what we call our next move. This is what we call our next move. And so we decided that this is really the purpose of next move, and you can write this down if you're taking notes. The purpose of next move is to empower people. And that word is very intentional. I'll talk about it. Power people to know God and to make him known. Here's why Next Move exists, and here's why we're such kind of big people about our Next Move kind of process. The reason why is because we exist so that people know God and make him known, right? But let me just talk to you again, like as a church family. If that's the case, how are we going to do it? And so we decided, here's what we do know. We can't make anybody know God. We can't make anybody. You can't force somebody to know God, and you can't force somebody to make him known in their city, in their community, or even in their own family. I can't go knocking on doors going, hey, I heard you're not praying with your kids. What's wrong with you? You know, you got to do this. Make him known. Like, we're not going to be that kind of a church. So we can't make anybody do this, but we can empower people to do it. And so we kind of came with this phrasing just really intentionally that we're going to empower people to know God and make him known. So we said, well, how are we going to do that? We're going to do it what we call next move. And also through next move, we can kind of measure or kind of have an idea whether or not we're doing what we really believe that God has called us ultimately to do. And so we call that our next move. And the first part of next move, there's four parts to next move, and the first one is no. We talked about no last week a little bit, but we'll even talk about it a little bit more today. The first one, no, is really all about ultimately moving in unity. In fact, one of our core values is that we maintain unity. We're going to probably shift that over to we move in unity, but it's the same concept. That ultimately, we believe wholeheartedly that no is so important. And in fact, we're going to ask, I'm just going to tell you the ask now for all of us in this room. And even if you've said, but I've been to Next Move, I went to Next Move a year and a half ago, we're going to ask everybody to go through this together just one time because it's been a little bit rewritten, it's been tweaked a little bit, and everybody's going to have to go through no. We're going to encourage everyone to go through no. Now, if you're just checking out our church, you don't have to go, that kind of a thing. But if you're a person who serves currently in our church, or you'd say, this is my home church, then my encouragement for you is make sure you go to no. We're going to want everyone to go to no, and here's why. Because we want to move in unity. We think unity is so important throughout Scripture. So I decided to do a completely like preacher thing and give you three scripture verses on it, even though there's plenty more, just in case you wondered that this is actually biblical. All right, here we go. Ezra 3:1, Old Testament. And I was so intentional about this. I grabbed some Old Testament stuff. I grabbed some New Testament stuff. And I even grabbed some Jesus stuff. And so, yeah, so I've covered my bases just in case. But that's Old Testament. Yeah, I know. That's good preaching. Okay, all right. Don't applaud that. That wasn't that good. All right, here we go. Ezra 3:1. It says that early autumn, when the Israelites had settled in their towns, just so you know context, the Israelites are in captivity. They're coming out of captivity. They're moving back to their homeland to rebuild their temple. They're all moving together to rebuild this thing. Let's just call it a church. They're going back to rebuild their church, rebuild their temple. So they're moving back, and it says all the people assembled in Jerusalem with a unified purpose. If you read this context in Ezra chapters 1 and through 3, you'd understand this whole group of people, this massive amounts of 50,000, 80,000 people on several different events all move together towards the same common purpose. Jesus prayed a prayer in John 17 before he goes to a cross, and here's what he says in John 17:20. He says, I pray, and he's talking to his Father. He's talking to God, his Father. He says, I pray that they, who's they? They is you. He's talking about you. Actually, technically, he says, for all future believers to ever come. I'm not praying for just current believers. This is him in his context. I'm praying for future believers. So Jesus is praying for you. And he says, here's my prayer, Dad, Father, here's my prayer, that they all be one. I want them all to be one, just as you and I are one. I want there to be unity in this body of believers, as you're in me, Father, and I am in you. In fact, if you were to read the entire chapter of John 17, you'll find out that Jesus prays this prayer three different times. He prays the prayer that the church, the body of Christ, would move in unity. And one of the statements that Jesus says is the reason I want them to move in unity, he actually says this, so that the world would know that you sent me. It's like Jesus is saying there's something to unity, that when people come together in unity, all believing, all shooting towards the same common purpose, the world is going to know through this group of people, the body of Christ, moving together in unity, who I am and who you are in me, and they're going to figure this whole thing out all through unity. And Jesus is praying for this. And then, this is really cool, Jesus' prayer actually gets answered. Figure that out, because Jesus can answer his own prayer, so I would answer every prayer if I'm Jesus. But yeah, so Jesus answers his prayer in Acts 2, the church launches out, and look what happens. It says, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they, this is being the first church that's launching out in the New Testament, they were all in one accord. It's 120 people in an upper room, and they're praying. And it says they're all in one accord. One accord in Greek context really means this: one heart, one mind, guess what? One purpose. One heart, one mind, one purpose. One heart, one mind, one purpose. When the church launches out, the very first New Testament church after Jesus ascends to heaven, it all started out with them moving in unity. And we believe wholeheartedly there's something to that, that God has called us to be a church, and churches around our bodies to move together in unity. And this is why we have part one being no. And no is simply just about that. It's about who we are as a church, where it is that we're going to go. We're going to talk and cover in that particular kind of part of Next Move why we do what we do. We want to answer questions about how we're structured. We know people have, you know, asking questions about finances, and they say, well, you know, how does that all get broken down? We want to do all of our best to answer these questions in no. Honestly, for me as your pastor and leader, it's so much easier for us to do it that way than to try to respond to everybody independently about through email or through personal phone calls. And I would be happy to sit with all of you if that's what you want to do, no problem. But for us, Next Move is going to help answer all of those questions. We know a lot of people come to church and they say, you know, how do I get plugged in? What do I do? Do you guys believe in, like, you know, preaching the Bible? Do you believe in the Holy Spirit? I mean, all these different questions that come at us. And so we say, hey, just do this. Just go to know. If you go to know, then you'll what? No, he figured it out. So smart. All right, here we go. So listen, if you don't, this is true. If you don't know what we're doing, it's probably because you didn't know, right? Because you didn't go to know. I mean, look how simple we've made this for you. And then you can tell people, you know, about, you know, if they say, what are they about as a church? Just ask them, well, did you go to know? Do you know? And I don't know. Well, then go to know. I mean, it's just so easy. We just made this, like, it's so good, right? Because we just know that people are so talented. All right, so no, go to know. We want everybody to go to know. And if you said, again, if you've already been a part of Next Move a year ago, we're just going to ask you to redo it again because it's changed and it's tweaked a little bit. And so be a part of it so that you know we're all up to date, we're on the same page, all right? The part two of this is called grow, all right? The writer of Hebrews writes this really powerful statement in Hebrews 6, and here's what it says in the writer of Hebrews. It says, you have been believers. Now, who's he talking to? Believers. He says, you've been believers so long now. You've been believing. You guys are so faithful, so cool, so good, right? You guys are worshiping good. You listen to messages. You're saying amens. You guys are really the believers, okay? So long now that you ought to be teaching others by now. There's a problem here. So Paul, the writer of Hebrews, is saying that, you know, there's something wrong because you're believers, but you should have shifted into teachers. Something's happening. It says, instead, you need someone to teach you again. Look at the key word, basic things. And he says about God's word, you are like babies who need milk. How about that for good preaching? You're all babies, okay, who need milk and cannot eat solid food. For someone who lives on milk is still an infant. How you guys would love to sit underneath this leadership in church? You're just babies. You're just infant children. I'm not calling you that. I'm just telling you what the text says. It says, who need milk and cannot eat solid food? For someone who lives on milk is still an infant and doesn't know how to do what's right. Solid food is for those who are, what's the word, mature, who through training have the skill to recognize the difference between right and wrong. There's like this emphasis on growth. There's this emphasis on being babies in the faith, being mature people in the faith. And then it continues on in verse 6, or chapter 6, verse 1. It says, so let us stop going over these basic teachings about Christ again and again and again. Parents, have you ever had to, do I have to keep telling you the same thing over again and again and again and again? And it gets frustrating as a parent. Amen, parents? Unless you're like, no, I like repeating myself to my kids. Right? I just can't stand repeating myself over and over and over. You're 17 years old. You should know to clean up your room by now, right? This is, see, look at you clapping. All right. So you're kind of engaged with this. So now hear God tell you that. Hear God tell you this. For some of you, maybe you need to hear this. You should know better by now. But I'm having to teach you again and again and again and again. For some of us, and I'm not pushing on tithing, or I'm not going to get into that. We'll talk about that in a couple of months. But just think about it. Some of you know that tithing is biblical and scriptural, and God has put it on your heart to do it. And you know this by now, but you still don't do it. Some of you know that God has called you to serve. You wouldn't debate that Jesus said, I've come to serve, and you're supposed to serve people, and this is the way people are going to know you, and you're called to serve and get involved in the church. If this is the church that you call home, God's called you to be a part and play a part in it, and you're like, well, I don't really know. God's like, you should know this by now. You should know this by now. But I have to keep teaching the basic things over and over. And this is the message that this writer is obviously distributing out to this group of people, saying, listen, you should know certain things by now. Here's ultimately what I think the writer kind of Hebrews is saying. You could write this down if you're taking notes. Ultimately, it's a true thing that God wants growth. Ultimately, all it is that God wants growth. He doesn't want perfection. I've said this before. He wants progression. He doesn't want perfection. He just wants progression. He wants to see us grow. Just like you see your children, you see, you know, and if you're a younger person in the room, a college student in the room or something like that, and you're, I don't have kids, but here's what I want you to know. God wants you to grow. He doesn't want you to kind of stay where you are. He wants to continue to let you grow in your relationship with him. He wants growth. He doesn't want perfection. He just wants progression. Are you progressing in your relationship with the Father? God wants growth. This isn't going to be debated all throughout Scripture, that God wants us to grow in our relationship with him. Regardless, here's the thing, regardless of the excuses. But my mom doesn't, but my dad doesn't, but my friends don't, right? No. God just says, I want you to grow with the things that I'm teaching you, right? God wants growth. So as a church, you say, how do we do that? This is where the kind of real practical thing kind of comes in for us as a church. As we really started thinking about this, how does God grow us? And we read through so many different leadership books and church leadership books, and some of you didn't even know there were church leadership books, but there's church leadership books, and there's Bible and all this stuff. We're kind of really unpacking this, and it's taken us a really long time. Like I said, truly just about 2 years to really fully be convinced and be really, the word I guess is better used, convicted by these things. These are five things that we are just really convicted on, really we believe into our core, that God uses to grow our faith. And you could write these on the back of your notes, or kind of if you want to, make a little kind of side indication. The first one is captivating services. Now here's why I say captivating services. When we met and we talked about this, what does God use to grow our faith? And we're reading through different books and different ideas. We just thought this is really what works for us. all of us who followed Christ probably know this. If you've followed Christ for any length of time at all, you would know this is probably true. That God used some preacher, some message, some worship moment, some conference, some kind of environment of kind of service that you were part of that really kind of launched you out into a relationship with Christ. For most of us, it didn't happen quietly in a bedroom all by ourselves. For some, it may have. But for most of us, we've recognized that God uses services like this to help us grow in our relationship with Him. And this is actually very biblical because in the first chapter, second chapter of Acts, where the first church launched out, we see this happening thousands of years ago, and we still have this kind of happening today. Acts 2:42, here's what it says, and I'm kind of paraphrasing some of it just so you don't kind of beat me up that I've changed some of the words, but this is for concept, okay? All the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. That's Acts 2, verse 42. And it says, and they worshiped together. Notice the dot, dot, dot in between. But they worshiped together at the temple each day. This is just something they did every day. Now, we've shrunk it down to just one day a week. Some of you are like right now going, church every day? That'd be crazy. Like, that's no way. I can't do that. But one day, maybe, you know? This is what the context is doing. All that Scripture is letting us know, there's an importance in meeting together and growing together as a body. So we believe wholeheartedly that Sunday mornings are absolutely critical. There's some people that think or teach that you could be a Christian without being part of the church. Let me ask you a question. Can a detached body part function and grow if it's removed from the physical body? No. Go ahead. Cut off your arm. Don't do it, but pretend. Cut off your arm and see how it does. See if it functions as it's supposed to. You cannot grow detached from the body. That's why it's so important to be part of Sunday morning services. And we believe not just regular kind of, just kind of like, you know, kind of boring services, captivating services, services that hold your attention. You know, services kind of really captivate people, kind of bring people into what God is wanting to do in their lives. Because we believe that God's word is captivating. When God's word is preached and preached well and songs are sung, you're like, yeah, God's word is awesome. Thank you for the front row, but everybody else, listen to me. God's word is captivating. It moves in you. It changes you. It equips you. It's this amazing life-breathing thing. And so it's captivating. So we said, it's got to be captivating services. We've got to do our best to create an atmosphere for a captivating service, for God to do something that only He can do through people. And we believe this is absolutely critical when it comes to the life of a believer and growing in our relationship with the Father. So just so you know, if for some reason you feel like, man, I just feel like I'm really not growing in my relationship with God. And I say, well, how's your attendance? Well, I don't know, twice a year, Easter, Christmas. I mean, you know, we're showing up. I'm thinking, well, that's the reason you're not growing. It's not because we're doing bad preaching. It's not because, does that make sense to you? All right, you can steal that and use that with your friends, okay? So just take that and tell them. Well, the reason you're not growing is because you're not a part of a body. Get a part of a body. All right, the second one, closet disciplines. Same context, Acts chapter 2. Here's what it says. It says, all the believers devoted themselves to prayer. They all devoted themselves to prayer. Here's what we recognize as we were talking about this. Can I just tell you something like right now? There's no way. Honestly, there's no way you grow in your relationship with God without two things, prayer and reading your word. If you get so dependent on me to feed you, eventually it's not going to be enough. You have to learn to feed yourself eventually. It's good to come and get fed, and that's what we do this together. But this is not enough. It's not. The Bible says that you're sustained by His word every single day. That you can do no thing without Him. That's what it says. You can't do anything without Christ. And so there's a part that I've recognized in my personal life that I would not grow with Christ if I not take time to spend in time in prayer and reading my word. And some people say, well, I don't have the time. You're right. I'm not busy at all. Like, I don't do anything, you know. So I'm not busy. Yeah, we're not launching a church or anything. It's just, I've just got all the time in the world, you know. Play video games. I just chill all day. Listen, no one has time. Okay, time is hard, right? For all of us, whether you have kids, all the kind of things. I mean, all of us have a reason why we don't have time. But here's what I've known, and I take this to the bank. I love you so much. This is so true. You always give time to what you value. Listen, if you value Starbucks in the morning, you don't care if you're late. You'll lie to get a Starbucks cup of coffee. You will. You'll text. You'll change the meeting. You'll tell them you're sick. Because you value, come on, somebody, raise their hand. Where are you? I know you're out there. You've done it. So there you go. Now, look at the honesty in the church. That's what I'm talking about. It's true. I got an important meeting. I was running. Sorry, I'm running behind. You're not running behind. You're at a Starbucks drive-thru, and the line is long. You always give time to what you value. Value your relationship with the Father enough to take time in your word and prayer. It's what helps grow your faith. This is why as a church, just so you know, we do that 45-day reading plan. It isn't because we just want you to just read. We want you to know that this changes your life. This is why as a church, probably two times a year, we're doing one right now. We're doing a 21-day fast. We'll do one probably around August, at the end of summer, and then we'll always do one probably launching a new year in January. Why are we doing that? Because we believe closet disciplines matter, helping you learn to grow in your relationship with the Father. The reason why we print off notes is so that you could take those home with you, maybe just look over the scripture verses on your own, that you would learn to kind of have a relationship with the Father beyond just a Sunday morning thing. Does that make sense? So closet disciplines. All right, the third part is contributing ministry. Contributing and ministry together, all right? And we didn't really know about this one. We wanted them all to have C's, so we just did contributing ministry. That makes sense. All right, Ephesians 4:16, here's what it says. Paul writes this to the church in Ephesus, and he says, he makes the whole body fit together perfectly. Remember, the church is the body. And each part does its own special work, and it helps the other parts grow. I'll talk about that in just a second. So that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. Healthy things grow, right? Things that are healthy grow. So it helps the other parts grow. Now here's what this is all about. And yes, I'm about to make a pitch towards our dream team, our volunteers. So just get ready. Yes, the secret is out. I'm about to encourage you to volunteer to serve a part of our dream team, okay? But here's why. Look at the text. Whenever you use your own special gift, each part does its own special work, and you are a part of the body, right? And when you do your work, look what it says, you help the other parts grow. And we want you to grow, and we know you want people to grow, and we want our kids to grow, and we want all of us to grow together in our relationship with God. But the only way this happens is if each part does its own special work. And when it does, it helps the other parts grow so that the whole body, this is the whole church, so that the whole church is healthy and growing. One of the reasons why sometimes churches don't grow is because maybe they're unhealthy. We have to do our best and own our responsibility to get healthy. And if we get healthy as a church, then watch what God does next. This is just the way that it works. Healthy things grow. This is why we encourage you to be a part of our dream team and to say, man, be a part of what God is doing in our church. We'll talk about that a little bit later on. But this is so important that this is the way we contribute. But we don't just contribute in just in serving a part of our team. We contribute financially. We all kind of sow into something to make it more healthy so that it can do what it's intended to do. And so there's so many different ways that we contribute to what God is doing through the local church. It's not so that I would gain. It's not so that just we would benefit. Can I just be honest? Parents. Grandparents, it's that those kids right across this door would understand who Christ is at an early age, that when they face temptations against this world, they would know who to follow. Listen to me. You want your kids following Jesus more than you want them to follow a boy. I tell you that. It's true. Or a girl, okay? You do, because you know what it's like. So we want to empower them. This is where the whole body, our kids, our babies, all of our kids to grow up in this relationship with God. When we contribute, everyone wins. Everyone wins, including you. So we believe wholeheartedly in contributing in ministry. This is the third thing, the third thing that we believe that God uses to grow your faith. Can I just say this to you? I have seen more people grow in their relationship with God by just jumping in and serving. Listen, so many people think, well, I've got to know more, but I've got to live a certain way. That is so far from the truth. I have seen more people grow in their relationship with God when they get part of a serve team, they jump in, and they just start using their gifts. If one of the reasons why you flatlined in your relationship with the Father is potentially because you don't serve anywhere. I love you. Four parts. Catalytic relationships. So important. I want to kind of just share some personal stories. You don't even know I'm going to do this today. Catalytic relationships. We believe that one of the things that God uses to grow your faith in him is relationships, people, other people. All of you in this room probably can point or think back to one person who's really made a really difference in your faith and your relationship with God. If you're a believer in Christ, you could probably point to maybe somebody in this room. Maybe you could turn around, you could look at certain people and say, man, it was because of you, it was because of your conversation, it was because of that. A parent, a loved one, a family member, a dad, a mom, a coworker, something. At some point, God used a relationship and it was catalytic. It launched you into this kind of maybe new idea about who Christ is. And we believe that God uses other people to help grow our faith in him. And as I was writing this out, I thought of a couple people in the room, a couple stories. And so just so you know, they don't have no idea that I'm doing this, but if I remember, Alex, you and I were talking, and how you came to Brave, and Alex and Vanessa, husband and wife, they serve on our dream team, and they got baptized a couple weeks ago, and God's just doing amazing things in them. But ultimately, you came to Brave through Humberto and Cynthia, correct? And you're just in a conversation, y'all end up working on the same project or something like that, right? Y'all same company, and then Humberto, and I know this from talking to you a little bit, if it's okay, I didn't even ask you, but here I go. Okay, that I'm taking that, okay? But one of the things, you were even questioning faith in God at the time. Now check this out, this is so cool. God uses a man who's questioning his own faith to reach somebody for faith. Listen, this is just the way it works, catalytic relationships. God uses relationships. God uses people even when they don't know that they're being used by him. It's just an amazing thing. It's how God works. I was thinking of my neighbors, Jessica and Jason. Awesome couple in our church. Can we just celebrate them, what they do? So in case you don't know, Jason takes I think it's 10,000 photos every Sunday or something. I don't know. He's constantly. But man, our social media looks so good and our photography and all of that stuff. And Jessica sets up and tears down and helps out in our kids and sets all that up and helps put out signs when we're not here or not able to. And so it just does an amazing work of God. But look how this relationship works. When me and Krista left our previous neighborhood to move out here, me and my wife and our kids, we moved out here. We prayed that God would put us in a position to help us bless our neighbors because we believe wholeheartedly in the command to love your neighbor as yourself. And so I remember moving in and thinking, you guys are coming to church and you don't even know it. Like, you don't even know this, baby. You're going in the water, you know, you're getting in. And even if you were, you're drinking the Kool-Aid. And so So actually one day, this is true, I literally stood in my closet, no truth, and I stood in my closet, I put my hands on the wall, and I started praying for them. I didn't even know their names, so I just started praying for them. That God's going to do something great in this family, God's going to do something amazing in their life. And since then, she's been baptized, and they serve in our church faithfully. It's just amazing to see what God does. Catalytic relationships. This is just something that God uses to grow your faith. God uses relationships to grow our faith and our relationships with him. The fifth one, critical moments. This one's a little bit harder one to measure, but critical moments. We believe that God uses critical moments to grow our faith. That could be a moment where you hit rock bottom or maybe kind of a turning point. A divorce happens. This happens, and unfortunately it happens. A divorce happens, an adultery happens, and you hit a low point or something happens, and somehow God uses it, though, and he kind of catapults you and launches you out into this relationship with him. It could be a loss of a job. It could be a loss of a loved one. I mean, we see this time and time again, that people go through kind of desperate situations or desperate moments that launch them out into a relationship with God. And some of you, you've experienced critical moments like that. You've experienced these kind of defining moments that you were in your life that God used to launch you into a new relationship with him. And ultimately, these kind of five C's, all these kind of things that help really kind of strategize our church. Ultimately, if we could kind of really condense this down to say, how does growth happen in one kind of context? Here's what it is for us as a church. We believe that growth happens best in connect groups. We believe that growth happens best in connect groups. And the reason for that is because all five C's occur within a group. All those five things we just talked about happen when we get involved in these things called connect groups, these like small group environments, and we start to learn and grow together. And so I've actually come up with like an acronym to just kind of make sense for us. It's the acronym SPA, okay? S-P-A, I'll get like a spa treatment. I don't know why, that's just the preacher thing to do. All right, so, but here's what happens in every single connect group. There's gonna be some form of sharing. Now sharing scripture, sharing devotion, sharing in situations and circumstances, sharing what's going on, sharing in practical needs. I've seen this happen, you know, hey, we're having a kid, and, that's okay. I got baby clothes up in the attic. We got toys. Sharing practical things. When a church comes together through share, if you were to read Acts 2 and you read through that, encourage you to do that, you'd find out that one of the first things that the church did was they shared everything they had together. So in every single connect group, there's going to be some element of sharing in scripture, sharing in stories, sharing in practical needs. Sharing. Okay, the second part is prayer. We believe that this is important. It's every single kind of group, a closet discipline is prayer, right? In every single connect group, there's going to be an element of praying together. We want to stand with people in prayer and pray for one another. And the last one is accountability. We want to encourage people. It's not like just beating people up, but we know that life gets hard sometimes. We know that following Jesus can get intimidating, get difficult, and it gets kind of, we get lost sometimes. And so we need people to kind of gather around us and strengthen our spirits and encourage us sometimes. So every single connect group will have an element of sharing, sharing in scripture, sharing in stories, sharing in needs, an element of prayer, all right, and then an element of accountability, an element of encouragement or processes. And in, listen to me, in all those five C's we just talked about, you know, services, scriptures being read, and disciplines happening, all of those five things happen within a small group, within a connect group. And that's why at our church, we want every single person, we want everyone to be a part of a connect group. And I'm just going to let you know now, I'm not going to stop talking about it. I'm not going to stop coming at you about this. And if you say, well, I can't do it, I'm going to keep coming you. I believe in this so strongly that we want every single person in a connect group. Because why? It's so important. We know if you're detached from the body, you won't survive. We want every single person to eventually be part of a connect group. And so once again, if you're interested in hosting a connect group, you do not have to have a Bible degree. You don't have to like know the whole thing. All you have to do is be willing to open your home and smile. Make it smell good though. We don't want anybody to smell that. But put some candles in the room or something. All we're saying is that just open up your home and say, hey, I'm gonna create some space for people to enter in, to share in scripture, to share in their struggles, to share in their stories, to grow together in friendship. Not only that, but to pray with one another. And we'll kind of talk to you about how we're going to do that and approach that. If you're just interested, just come and see me after service. And obviously in 2 weeks, on August 13th, is going to be that group sign-up day. And we'll talk more about our connect groups there. But we want everyone to be a part of a group. And the fourth part to next move is the word discover. 1 Peter 4:10 says this, God has given each of you a gift. We talked about this a minute ago with contributing ministry. He's given each of you a gift from his great variety of spiritual gift. And then he says, use them well. Use them well to serve one another. Everyone has a gift. Everyone has a gift. And we should use our gifts to serve one another. Ephesians 4:11 says, now these are the gifts Christ gave to the church, the apostles, the prophets, and the evangelists, and the pastors, and the teachers. Now here's what it says. This is what I want you to focus on. Their responsibility, I just want you to know this before we close out today. Their responsibility, who's they? It's me. I just want you to know, partially this is me, part of this is Pastor George, some of the leaders in this church. Their responsibility, my responsibility, is to equip God's people. That's you. My job is to equip you to do his work and to build up his church. I love you, but let me tell you something. It is not my job to build this church. My job is to build you so that you would build the church. That's the way that he said it. It's not my job. He said, well, that's your job. You go out there and you reach the community, Ricky. You go, Ricky. You go reach the world, baby, all on your own. And don't sacrifice your family in the process. That's it also. Okay. God's people to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ. This is what we do here every Sunday. We want to equip you. We want to empower you to get to know who God is and to make him known and to use your gifts and to do all the things that God has called you to do. And that's why, of course, we call it discover. So discovering is helping you do that. It's helping you discover your gifts. So we want to sit with you through Discover class. We want to say, hey, we want you to discover what God has called you and equipped you to do for his kingdom. So in Discover, you'll get to discover your purpose. That's why we're so passionate about that. And the fourth part is simply go. Go. Matthew 28:19, the big verse says, therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. God has called all of us to go. And here at Brave Church, of course, we call this our dream team. And just so you know, we were really intentional when we came up with this name. It wasn't just like this catchy phrasing that we heard from other churches, that's the reason we did it. No, for us, we really bought into this idea that there's a truth to this. So we didn't want people to say, hey, you're just a volunteer. We wanted you to know that whenever you are part of what God is doing, you're part of the body, you have now joined the vision of Brave Church. And you help make the dream of Brave Church become a reality. That's why we call it the dream team, because we want you to be a part of that dream. We want you to share in that. We believe that God has given you a gift. If you're in this room, God's given you a gift to use towards his local church, and we want to help you kind of see you to use that overall, of course, to reach the purpose of what God has called us to do as a church at Brave, which is simply to know God and to make him known. So four parts to next move. Know, grow, discover, go. This is what we are about as a church. We want people to know who we are, where we're going. We want people to grow in their relationship with God. We want to help people discover their purposes and who God and what it is that God's calling them to do. And we want people to go out eventually and to make him known to the world. Does that make sense to you? This is what we're wanting for us as a church. And so we're going to ask you to do us a favor. On the back of your Connect card, it says next move. If you would do us a favor, listen to me. You don't have to go in any certain order. We've set these up now that you no longer have to go in order. We're going to be doing these once every other month. We're not going to be doing them every single Sunday anymore. We're going to just kind of space them out for lots of different reasons. But encourage you to be a part of Next Move. And the reason we'll be part of Next Move is so you would know where we're going, what we're doing, grow in your relationship with God, discover your purpose, and to go eventually and to make him known to the world. Last thought here on this idea as you sign up, hopefully, for Next Move to be a part of this. Also, just so you know, too, they can be taken in stages. So that means you can attend and you don't have to go to Grow if you don't want to. You know, you can say, well, I think I've heard enough. I don't want to go to Grow. But you can go in any orders of these if you want. If you want, I just want to go to Discover. I want to discover what my purpose is, then we can help you do that as well. So they don't have to go in any kind of order or anything at all. But encourage you to start for Next Move. We're going to start this next Sunday. August 6th, we're starting Know, and then we'll go to Grow, and then Discover, Go. If you can't go to Know, just go to Grow, and we'll kind of help you kind of process through this. But we want everyone in our church, everyone here that's a part of Braves family, say, this is my church, this is my home. We want everyone to go to Know, at least to Grow, Discover, and Go. Last thought here on this, and then we'll wrap up. I just want to kind of cast some thought with this. Can you just imagine for a moment with me if we all really did this? I mean, if we all truly, truly just kind of shared the same vision and we all kind of really put our hearts, our minds, our prayers, our energy together to ultimately fulfill and do what God has called Brave Church to do. Now, not just five of us, not just 10 of us, not just 30 of us. What if every single person, if you're in this room, every single person that said, and this is what we're called to do, be a Brave Church, did this. And we all pursued the same purpose with the same passion. We all contributed and shared in what God is calling us to do as a church. And then we went beyond that. We all made, this is so important, we all made a commitment to grow. Just so you know, when you go to Grow class, when you go to part two of Grow, we're going to ask you to sign a commitment to grow. We're going to ask you unashamedly to sign a commitment to grow. Here's why. Because as a church, as Brave Church, our responsibility is to equip and grow you. We're asking you to make the same kind of commitment to us. If you want us to commit to you to help you grow, we're asking you to play your part and to help us grow in return. Does that make sense? And so we're going to ask at the end of Grow class to simply do that, just to make a commitment to grow with us because we're making a commitment to you. If you're a part of our church family, our responsibility is to help you grow in your relationship with God. So we're just asking you to make the same commitment and grow. But can you imagine if we all just made the same commitment together, all contributing our gifts, all pursuing our purposes that God has called each of us to do uniquely, independently, together, and then went out there and actually did it? Can you imagine what God would do within our church? I think you would see him do this. Here's what you would do. He would do everything he wants to do through us. That's it. He would do everything that he wants to do through us because we wouldn't be limiting it. We would say, God, we're coming together. We're in unity. God, we're going to grow in our relationship with you. God, we're going to use and discover our purposes together. And we're going to do this all for the purpose of making you known within around our world, around our workplaces, around our environment. We would see God fulfill every single thing that he wants to do through our church. And we want to be a healthy church. And we want you to grow in a spiritual, healthy relationship with the Father. And that's why we've created what we call Next Move. Amen. Well, again, take that connection card on your way out if you filled that, you indicated that to us on Next Move, regardless of whatever it is that you've been through. Again, if we encourage you to be a part of this. Next week, of course, we're going to have a guest speaker coming in on August 6th. I'm super excited. One of my dear friends, and he's going to be coming preaching next week. On August the 13th, we're doing those group signups that we talked about. And we'll make sure that you're here for that, to sign up for groups. If you're interested in hosting a group, come down front and see me after service. And then once again, the final thing is you're dismissed this morning. On your seat this morning, there's these thing called come and see cards, these invite cards. There's stacks of five. We did that independently. It's not like four for you and one for your friend, okay? Each one of these is to be handed out. And we made this so easy for you that all you got to do is say, hey, come and see Brave Church. Come and see. Even, like I said last week, even if you don't talk and your throat's hurting, just go, hey, point to it and then just hand it to them. And just come and see Brave Church and encourage them to be a part of August 20th, kicking off a brand new series. That's the Back to School Splash. Olaf's going to be here for all of the kids. It's going to be a great day for us as a church. Amen. Hey, we love you guys. We'll see you guys later. Have a good day.